Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, Seachtain na Gaeilge begins again today, and along with it, discussion of how we can incorporate more of the Irish language into our daily speech. It also begs the question of what we may have lost by not using it in the first place. Máncam McGann is a documentary maker and the author of 32 Words for Field, a list of lost words of the Irish landscape, and he joins us now on News Talk. Máncam, good afternoon to you.
Hello to you, Sean. Nice to talk to you again.
I suppose people who might live in urban areas, who've grown up in urban areas, who never really gave much thought to the Irish language, might think it's nothing to do with me. But I suppose your own story, because you were kind of, you grew up in two places at the same time, but one of them was Donnybrook, very urban, very well off. And the other half, you were down in the Blaskets. At some point, did those two places connect for you?
Yeah, but it took a long time. Mostly they were absolutely separated. As you say, that life of growing up in Donnybrook in the 1970s with Star Wars and Jaws and E.T. and things, and then the other life down in West Kerry with sort of ex-Blasket Islanders now living on the mainland and helping them, you know, save the hay and watching them in the horse and cart, bringing the milk pail across the strand in the horse and cart every morning. So they were totally divided until in 1996, you know, TG Carr was set up and my brother and I started making travel documentaries from the second day. And after about 8 years of doing that, I'd been among minority people all over the world, in South America, in Taiwan, in Africa. And I realized that life that I was seeing there was sort of very similar to the life that I had seen in West Kerry in the 70s and 80s. And I was at the time getting into sort of organic farming and all that type of, you know, eco stuff. And I realized, my God, it's all the same. That way of living sustainably on the land, of being rooted and connected to nature, is basically what the Irish language is about. And suddenly things made sense to me.
Yeah. So, but from that, could people infer then that the Irish language really isn't a modern language? It's not a 21st century language. It's an old language.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, I suppose all the effort in the last few decades has been trying to make it a modern language. And there's like really some very cool apps and websites that are doing it. And there's, you know, the language sort of authorities which are creating new words on tanga.ie on the website for all new things. But no, at heart, this is a language that's way, way older than English and way, way older than all of the other mainstream European languages. Like, so we know, I mean, you know, writing only came with St. Patrick in the 5th century. So we have proof of the 5th century that Irish was there. But we know it went back 2,000 years. It could have gone back 2,500 years, 2,800 years, when the Celts or whatever, the first tribe with the Celtic culture arrived here. Mm. But in fact, there could be words that we're speaking Irish that go right back to 10,000 years when the ancestors of our people first arrived. So it's like it's on that scale of the really ancient languages like Sanskrit, like Hebrew, like Estrangelo. And if we think of those languages, they are mythical, almost sort of languages with a hint of magic, where the words were able to sort of were believed they could summon things up out of nothingness. Now, that's not what you think of when you think of French or German or English.
Yes. Also, as well, because we often say, well, the Germans have a word for everything. There are terms for, say, emotional states in Irish that you just don't get in English.
Yeah, and really just, but really complex emotional states. So in other words, it wasn't so much that we were, you know, analytical thinking like Woody Allen and something, doing deep psychological thinking, but we believed in that our inner world was connected with the other world. So there was this vastness inside of us. So you get all of these words for phenomenon, for concepts, for things like omoscreina, which is sun inspiration. And it refers to the blisters on the leaves of certain herbs, which when eaten give the gift of poetry. Hmm. Basically, you know, if you want true inspiration, rather than people microdosing now, you went and found these particular leaves, you saw the blisters on them, and then you were imbibing the sun, you know, the sort of the God quality of the sun. Or a word like scrimplini, which is the supernatural lights that dance before one's eyes. This sense that there's something way bigger that you can access through your senses. You're going beyond the mind, you know, you're going into other sort of dimensions.
Wow, that's kind of trippy. Is it known, or is it possible to make a guess, how many words of Irish have been lost forever?
No, I remember a few years ago I had a project called Gaeilge Tamagotchi where I was giving out endangered Irish words to describe people. And at the time I had 4,300 words just to describe someone's character. And I think, you know, oh, do I remember this? That Shakespeare, I think, used 40,000 words in his plays. Most of us have about 10,000 words in the English language that we know, that, you know, in our daily speech. But there was 4,300 words just to describe some. A lot of them were sort of words for women, and they were disreputable words that would have been used by one woman against another woman in a playful way. But so, no, there's vast amounts. Like, as I said, what my book is called 32 Words a Field. I could have called that 67 Words a Field. They're fields. There's infinite. I have so many words for stones. I think in my book, don't I have 50 words for the male sexual organ? And again, I could have gone a lot more than that.
Yeah. Now, and on that point, though, I mean, you at least theorize that the reason why there's so many words for penis, but maybe not as many words for vagina or vulva, is just that women weren't asked those questions when people were collecting these words.
Exactly. Yeah, there's probably far more words for vagina and for the whole world of female sexuality. But as you say, like, and Peg Sayers and Bab Ferter and the great folklorists had all the languages, but the sort of the male folklore collectors would have been shy, or the women would have thought, OK, the priest is going to read this and I don't want to embarrass him. So Irish women had no prudishness about sexual matters. You know, Irish curses, they have no problem with sexuality. The curses and the things you were embarrassed about were things to do with the devil. You know, sex was seen in the animals. You know, what I think I have, do I have about 15 different words for sex among different types of animals and randiness among animals. but it just was never written down and it's still out there. So it requires, you know, so last year I've been doing this thing, Sea Tamagotchi, collecting coastal words. But what is needed is for women to go out among the Gaeltachts and ask the women of a particular age for that whole female sexual vocabulary. It's there and it's waiting.
Yeah. Now, on you mentioned Peg Sayers, which, you know, I think, I don't know what the Irish word for triggered is, but it might well trigger people. they'll just crouch down into a reflexive ball. Things like that, does that kind of skew the conversation about Irish, that we're, you know, the starting point always seems to be, well, it was beaten into me, it was badly taught, and therefore that's the end of the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, and I suppose one of the reasons I wrote my book is, I mean, more or less I've been involved with the Irish language for over 20 years, either making programs or writing plays or writing books. And people always say the same three things about the language to me. They say, oh, it was beaten into me. Oh, it's organized so badly by the government. Or, oh, what use is it in a modern world? And almost every radio interview I've done has brought up those three things. And I just thought, wait there, this is this ancient language that is connected directly back to Sanskrit culture, to words in Arabic and Hindu. It is an utterly international word that is language. It's so rooted to the land. And I thought, okay, let's, rather than repeating the Peg talk again, let's look at all of those other elements. And particularly, like, as I said, last year I had this project for Galway 2020 called Sea Tamagotchi, looking at coastal words. And it was really interesting in a year where all of us are getting into swimming, or whenever lockdown eased, people just got to the coastline or the rivers or the lakes. And going to these men, and it was mainly men I went because they were fishermen, and it was like they were waiting for me. They said, look, I have like dozens and scores of words for different rocks, different seaweeds, different fish, different tools, different concepts of being out on the sea. And I haven't mentioned these words for 40 or 50 years. No one has asked me.
Genie.
We're now interested in nature. We're interested in the environment and sustainability. All the words are out there if we go looking for them.
And I know on the question of it being a very ancient language, somebody's texted in to ask, can you say hello in Irish without mentioning God? I've always been bemused by it. It's such an old language that it would be something predating a Christian greeting.
Yeah, so true. But first, I mean, it looks really confusing when you have the dia hoit, tugas balo yi, or tugas, all those, you think that they're all dia. But the Irish just took on the word dia, day, you know, from the Latin word God. And even like in a and in yov, you know, in yov means today, but that's in nia, in dia, in God. In a, yesterday, in day, in God. God is everywhere, but it's not the God of Rome. It's not the God resplendent in a throne with his white beard casting judgment. It's the old animistic God. The Irish believe that God was in every single thing, in every raindrop, in every leaf, in every flower. And so it's in the same way when in India they say, you know, namaste or namaskar. They say, I recognize the God in you. And there is, in West Kerry, when I was young, we didn't say dia hoit. We'd sometimes say nachto. And Nachto, and the answer was Isme. And Nachto means, isn't it yourself? Basically, I am recognizing the essential being in you.
Yeah.
And Isme means I am. You know, I am. It's like, it's that's the same thing you're saying, I am, in some sense. It's like a mantra. It's like a Buddhist or a Hindu mantra. It's powerful.
Yeah, isn't it yourself is actually such an Irishism. You wouldn't actually get that anywhere else. Mankin, thanks a million for speaking with us today. Mankin McGann's book is called 32 Words for a Field, Lost Words of the Irish Landscape. You are listening to The Moncrief Show on News Talk. We're going to take a break after that, so you think you're an adult.
Moncrief on News Talk.